Lord Jesus Christ. And he said in verse 11, he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. And he's going to get by himself with his disciples and expound all things to them. And begin at verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full ear and full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. As we look tonight at this passage of Scripture, I want to look at some specifications of the seed. There's something about that seed that shows up in this passage of Scripture that I believe help us out tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer to look at the specifications of the seed. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you, God, for letting us be here and be alive tonight. God, while we're here tonight, we pray you'll expound to us more perfectly the Word of God. We pray Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And we pray, God, that you'll do this according to your perfect will. God, that you'll help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, that I preach the Word, being some in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen. As we look tonight in this parable, we're looking at these specifications of the seed. And one thing right off the bat is the specification of the definition of this seed, how it's defined. And he says in verse 26, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Seed into the ground. Now, you'll hear folks make these very spiritual sounding prayers. And as you know, you can be spiritual sounding and be wrong at the same time, right? Oh, dear Heavenly Father, help the kingdom of God. Help us as we spread the kingdom of God, how they pray. The only problem with that is you're at least 7 years too early. The kingdom of God spreads after the tribulation when he comes back. You can't have a kingdom without the king, and the king is coming with an army to conquer. Get this, an army of one. So what are we all doing? Just watching, man. Just watching. He's going to take care of the whole outfit. He's going to come riding in on a white horse, just like you see your favorite cowboy movie. Somebody rides in on a white horse. Wonder where they got that from. Don't forget, most movie plots you see come straight out of the Bible. They just change the name so that the innocent and the guilty are protected in there. And as he comes riding in the white horse, of course, you know when the guy rides in the white horse, everything's fixing to turn around. As they say on wrestling, there's fixing to be a slobber knocker coming here in just a second. And when that happens, you know who's fixing to get their hand raised in victory. It's going to be the guy that rides off on the white horse. Right. Remember that. That's important. Now listen, when we get to this kingdom of God business, listen to this. All kingdom builders in the past, all the way up to right now and the future, until Jesus shows up, will be bloody killers. All kingdom builders are that. Why? They take swords out to conquer in the king's name. They go to take territory in the king's name. You don't spread a kingdom without shedding people's blood. For instance, right now, while we sit back and we got a goofball up there in office saying, well, put all them men out there and leave all that equipment. Well, they're just going to let it sit out there in the desert and rot. Matter of fact, they've sold some of their buddies called China, if you remember them. They've already took over that airport. And they will start shedding blood over in Taiwan and Hong Kong. We need a man back in office that's going to tell them, look, you stay over there, don't come over here. Amen. And listen to this. We tried to be passive one time in the world, a war before. Do y'all remember a certain war called World War II? We were going to be Switzerland, honey. We weren't going to take a side. Then they bombed Pearl Harbor and we didn't have a choice. And you sit back right now and don't do anything. That cancer keeps spreading. If you don't cut it out, it'll keep getting bigger. The cancer's communism. They tried that in the early church in the first 6 chapters. It don't work. They had racial tensions over it, and God busted up the little playhouse they was in. Had all things common. That's what that is. It don't work. Because eventually the Grecians is going to tell the Hebrews, you get more than we getting. Now watch this. Look at verse number 26 again. So is the kingdom of God. Now watch what he says. As if a man should cast seed into the ground. The kingdom's legitimacy is that seed. That seed still works, by the way. That seed is the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. That's different. Benny Hinn tells it, and all the TV preachers. Oh, if you're right with God, you'll be prosperous. Tell me again how Job was prosperous and was right with God. He lost everything. Everything. 10 children, property, cattle, you name it. He lost everything right in the middle of the will of God. Tell me again how prosperity gospel works when Jesus Christ had no change of clothes and no residence and no white horse to ride on yet. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, Romans 14:17, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Get that thing. Listen, that's the legitimacy of the kingdom of God. When the seed gets planted and it goes in and does its work, it'll legitimately work because it's got the right location. You hear these church growth experts, they'll say, well, location, location, location. Let me translate that. Money, money, money. Just about 10 years ago to the date, there was a guy came to town, and he came to every place where there's a Gaffney City Limit sign, and he was going to take the town for Jesus. It's in the papers. Everybody knew about it. So he had a church building. They built the building. They done all that stuff. And the craziest thing happened. He didn't make it 3 months. You know why? Location, location, location. If you build it, they will come is not written in the Bible.
That's right.
Just because you have something on 85 don't mean nothing.
Yeah.
There's this crooked woman around town, runs around. I think she's married to her cousin or something like that. They built them a husband and wife pastor in church. And guess what happened to them? Right there in the perfect location, location, location. After that, money, money, money. And guess what happened? Oh, my stars. I wrote by that other day and there's a real estate sign there. How'd that happen? Location, location, location. No, it has to do with the Lord, the Lord, the Lord.
Amen.
God will bless you more on the backside of the desert up there than Pharaoh's palace if you'll just let him. You know what I heard about this church 26 years ago? It's a preacher graveyard. Y'all know what that means? You come here and die within a few years. Well, they've had 3 pastors in 2 years or what it was. I said, well, good thing I didn't listen to them, huh? All I know is this. You go where God tells you to go, you stay there, and God blesses. That's it. It's real simple. You ain't got to worry about all them growth manuals. They're all about money-making schemes. What you'd be better off doing if you don't do that, just get involved with Amway directly and cut out the church middleman. Because that's what it is. Same stuff. Now notice the kingdom's location. This is Luke 17, verse 20 and 21. And when he was demanding the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, they knew it wasn't there. Notice this. He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Let me spell it out for you. I don't care how I live, somebody will find fault, and lifestyle evangelism never works. So how do you know that? Because he said, go ye in all the world, not sit ye still and let everybody look at you, you prideful thing, you. We're going to buy you some Indian feathers and chief feathers so everybody know you the chief, okay? Maybe that works better when I tell it up there better than it does down here, but you get the point. Now listen, everybody's going to come on and say, well, I don't have to go out witnesses. I just live it in front of them. Yeah, I see all you converts too. I remember a guy told me one time, he said, I just wear this red Jesus hat. I said, what does it do? He said, it makes them think. I said, about what? He said, Jesus, of course. I said, I don't believe it. He said, how do you know? I said, how old are you? He said, 70. I said, how many people have you ever led to Christ? He said, well, none. I said, I like my way better. Already I like my way better. At least I got an opportunity to win somebody. See, I'm like the ugly blind date. I'll keep hitting on them until I find the right one that says yes to Jesus. Amen. Listen. I ain't worried about having to advertise nothing, baby. You just go out there and tell them and the seed will do the trick. Because eventually what will happen is, I went down to Cross Anchor Prison one night and I preached a message because them Left Behind books were so popular on the church that will be left behind. Got down there and preached that thing and we didn't have enough altar workers to deal with the sinners that come. So was there anything about that message? No, it's just about the seed. Somebody had already put the seed there. Somebody had already planted. Somebody had watered. And I showed up on increase time. I'm usually on the front end of that, not the back end. See, God will work all this stuff out if you'll let him. And see, he says about the kingdom of God, he says, it's not cometh not with observation. And he says in verse 21, neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That's something you can't see. So what will happen when Jesus comes back? It'll be outside then. You'll have a glorified body. Right now it's concealed by a jar of clay. You have this treasure in earthen vessels. But when he comes back, guess what? We come back with him, all of it will be on the outside then. The king will take the kingdom. He'll dethrone the current king just almost immediately. Now watch this. You see the first specification, we see the definition of the seed, and then you see the description of the seed in verse 27. It says, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up. It says spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. So if you're the guy casting that seed out and you're out there doing that, you need to hear the description of the seed so you know you got the right one. The right seed is the Word of God. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 says, now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. So what we're doing, we're casting seed out there, not planting it, casting. That's why in that parable of the sower, he says, some fell on good ground, some fell on stony ground, some fell on thorny ground, and so forth. We cast the seed out there. That means, listen to this, sometimes you give the girl the drive through a track, but, and sometimes you put one on the paper box, and sometimes you give one to the person that you're talking to and tell them about the Lord. Sometimes you just leave one someplace. But don't go littering the place with them. That's just aggravating to the guy that's got to clean them up. But if you put one here and you put one here and you put them seed out there, eventually somebody's going to pick up that seed. And that seed's going to do something that's going to amaze you. It's going to pop open. We used to have to do this experiment in grammar school, and I think we might even have to do it in junior high. If y'all don't know what junior high is, the politically correct term is middle school. Is that right? What's the other one called I learned the other day you told me about that I had never heard?
Intermediate
school. We got a new one, see? Gaffney better get in time. That's Rock Hill they talk about, so we got to catch up. We got to get the buildings over here, I'm telling you. If we can keep all our people in school, that's the problem we having. If you can't play football, we don't care who you are in Gaffney, okay? I heard a rumor we had a basketball team one time. But we had to win two state titles to hear about it, you know. But here's the thing. It's the Word of God, and that Word is that there's an experiment we done. We had to get a pie pan, and you girls listen up, they still selling things. You still make pies in them. Need to talk to your mama now while she's alive. Ain't a YouTube video in the world going to tell you how to do that right. Mama tell you. So my mama can't cook. Go around here and go to grandma. But anyway, you take that pie pan, you take a paper towel, fold it in half, put it there, and you would barely moisten that thing. You take some orange seeds and put them all out there on that thing in a row or whatever, or in a circle or whatever, and you'd set them up in the windowsill. Come back the next day, and the most amazing thing had happened. Because that sunlight hitting that seed, that sucker said, like this. And then a day later, you come back, and there's a little thing coming out of it. And I guess if you let it sit there long enough, you'd have a whole orange tree growing on that paper towel. That's as far as they took us with. They didn't let us get the whole thing done. But I'm going to tell you something. We didn't do anything to get that seed to do that. It just done it when it reacted with sunlight. What did it have? A place where it's at and water and sunlight. That's all it ever needs. What you got to do is get people that's lost, give them the seed, and get them under the light. Remember we talked about the light this morning. Get them under his light, and that seed will naturally do what it's going to do. God will give the increase. Now, listen, not only is the seed the word, but it also works. When it comes to leading a soul to Christ, that's a supernatural thing. You don't have to be taught how to trick them into it. That's God's work. And by saying that, you may plant the seed, you may water the seed, but it's God that's going to give the increase and not you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Right. Somehow it was him that just came right along, and though the thing was sitting there, though it had water, nothing happens till God makes something happen. And then when it comes to causing the Word of God to sprout in the heart of a sinner and grow and produce fruit, the whole thing is God, and we are nothing. The best way to put it is like this. You are a zero with the rim knocked out, and Jesus is everything. He's the one's going to make all this happen. If he chooses to skip over you and go to somebody else, he will. Just keep tossing that seed out there. Listen, if he comes by and you've been tossing seed and he puts water on it, keep putting the seed out there. And then one day you might be there where the thing comes to harvest. You want to be there for that, don't you? When that thing comes to fruition. Listen, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, after he said that about Apollos' water and so forth, he says in verse 7, So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth increase. It's of the Lord. See, these are specifications. We're dealing with the details tonight. We're right up in there seeing the thing about the seed. And the third specification is the depiction of that seed and how it's depicted in the drawing we got here on our blueprint. Look down at verse 28. Here's what the blueprint says will happen. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. Now we're talking my language. I understand what he's talking about now. I may not know how that seed works. I might not get it work, but when it gets full, I know exactly what to do with it then. See, what do you do with it? Eat it. Get the butter out, man. Twirl that thing in there just a little bit. Then I like to take a good sharp knife and go down that thing, cut that thing off. That way I ain't got to hunt corn down. It'll all come in one big swarp there, see. That's the best way to do it, I think. Now, I can tell you where all I've had good corn and where I've had bad corn, but I always liked corn. If I had to go there and watch that stuff grow, I'd go crazy. Do you know how long it takes corn to grow? More than an hour while you waiting in line. That thing about they probably back out there killing the chicken for us, they might be doing that, but they ain't growing the corn that you fixing to eat. I'm just saying this is the way this thing works, and they don't work like you think. It's going to be a thing where something's going to happen, and it's going to be of God, and God depicts the thing as a seed. By the way, that seed, you ever heard these dumb charismatics say, well, we couldn't get no healing tonight, there wasn't no faith here. What if I told you that your faith don't matter, but the seed is where the faith is? So how do you know? It's real simple. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And knowing that, that means if I believe that book and I take it in, I'll believe even more. You'll get to a point in your life where you'll be able to believe God for things a year from now that you don't believe Him for now, and He'll do that very thing. You go to His book and you say, well, that's how that works, and you believe God and do it that way, He'll make it happen. So how do you know? I've kind of been watching lately. Listen, when you're down here in the middle of nowhere on the backside of the desert and you need $20,000 for air conditioning, there's only one or two ways to get that money. And guess what one of them is? Go up there and borrow the money. And you know what happens then? You in bad shape. Because now you got to pay that plus $5,000 of it back. You might can find a person, can I have some money? They might say, yeah. But listen to this. You might be able to get on your knees and ask the Lord, Him say, I'll send you some Joe Biden money. What do you think about that? Are they wasting it on everything else? Why couldn't we buy a good HVAC unit with it, right? But then God say, I don't like him either. How about I just give you the money? What do you do with it then? You put the units in. Quit standing there with your jaw on the floor and put the units in. Call the guy, tell him it's time to get to work. The guy that built this parking lot out here told me, he said, it's getting near winter. Told me we was praying on money. You know what he said? It's getting near winter. How about I go ahead and pave your parking lot and you pay me when God pays you? He said, you do believe God's going to do this, don't you? I said, yeah, I just wonder if you believe it or not. Well, you can't never tell nowadays.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you before he got the lines drawn, the thing was paid for in full. God does that. We just had a situation this week where somebody said, well, what about when you this and you, and somebody asked you this? You just believe God and let God do it. God uses church people. He uses Christian people. And sometimes you don't even have to ask and he'll send it before you ask. But let God do the stuff by faith. So how do I get that kind of faith? Listen to this. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's all you need. Keep listening, keep reading, and keep believing, and God will. Secondly, about that thing being the agent of faith, it's also the agent of growth. I mentioned this morning, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. God uses that word of God to grow people up into big Christians. Now here's the problem. Christianity is the only creature in the world that can be around for years and never get out of being a baby. So what's the time to do? Get on the milk, take it in, and get on the meat, and get rid of the diaper, because that thing stinks like the politicians do. I hope they're watching too. I'm sick of them myself. How about you? I done got to the feeling they like pro wrestlers. All of them's on the same team in the back, and they get out front and act like they hate each other. I might be right about that. I don't know, though. Because I think it's awful funny how our senator here keeps flip-flopping between Democrat and Republican, depending on who's up there in that head office.
Right. Yeah.
By the way, where's your wife at? Oh, that's right. He ain't got one. How old is he again?
Hello?
I think we've been voting and didn't even know it. What do you think? I sense we have some wafflers in here that's been voting for him for 25 years. Please quit voting for that man. Make it, listen, force term limits on him. Quit voting for him. Listen, whoever the current town drunk is, vote him in before you vote that guy, and he'll do about the same job. Listen to this. We talk about the depiction of the seed. It's the agent for faith. It's the agent of growth. The Bible specifies it. And another specification, that in verse 29, he says, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. We see this last specification is the destination of the seed. We're not going to leave a bunch of good corn out in the field. We don't do that. If you're a farmer, if you've ever farmed or you had a garden, you don't grow it to leave it out there and let the deer eat. Back in the old days, pre-Wizard of Oz, they'd build these things called scarecrows. Grandpa would take off his old dirty clothes he was about to burn or make rags out of, and he'd make a scarecrow out there with some hay and stuff, and they'd stick him up on a pole. And the reason they put that thing there is he looked enough human that the birds couldn't tell it wasn't human. That's to keep him off corn. By the time you and I come along, they had found technology had so advanced that instead of having a scarecrow out there, we used something else. Remember that pie pan we was talking about? Grandpa would drive a stick around, put a string on it, put a thing in there, and that thing would do this all day long. You know what them birds heard? Clang, clang, clang. They thought somebody was out there banging and doing something all day, and they never went in the garden. And the deers wouldn't go near it because they kept seeing something flash, and all they could think about is a scope looking at them. You know, if you don't think they know when to shoot at, we got a bunch of them up the city because they know you can't come up there and get them. I promise you, I've seen something today I ain't seen in 16 years. I saw a dead deer up there near the house, and nobody shot him. Some drunk hit him last night over another road last night. Poor dog catcher won't be in the morning. I have to scrape him up off the road. And while you understand, we're sophisticated outfit. We don't work on Sunday on jobs like that. But listen to me. That thing's out there for one reason, to make noise and make light flash. Why? To keep the predators out of your garden. Because when it comes harvest time, we can go out there and get that corn, get them maters, get them cucumbers, get all that stuff out of there for one reason. We want to live to do it another day. Right?
Amen.
And you get your bell peppers, and thank God, listen, we saw something me and my wife's never seen it on TV the other day. We only seen it on Charlie Brown once a year. Pumpkin patch. I just ran into a man at Lowe's the other day, said, $10 a pumpkin. He said, this ain't even a grocery store and they're too high. He said, I'll just get one out of the patch. I said, where's the patch at? I ain't seen a patch in all my life. And then we drove right by two the other day. I told her to take the wheel so I could go get us a pumpkin, and she wouldn't get over there. You got a good driver to get by up there now. And we saw that patch out there, and I got to looking out there, and I thought, man, they got to do something to keep them deer off that thing, don't they? Watermelon patch, I'd do something to keep all them hands out there off of them trying to get a free one. I've got some cousins I could tell you by name that has done that and got caught. Maybe a parent or two here and there. It was Preston done it. Okay. Thank you. I knew there was a guilty party needed to confess in here, and the one behind you kept going, he done it. So, anyway. What we got is that fruit's brought forth, and immediately he goes up there and does the sickle thing because of two reasons. That seed is headed somewhere. Number one thing you can tell about this seed, it's headed to holiness. You take this in, you're going to be more like him. You believe this book, you become more like him. So how do you do that? By faith. By faith. He don't transform you by the renewing of him crushing you and making you. He does it by the renewing of your mind, because it changes your mind. It changes your mind like this book. And you take this in, you start becoming more like him. See, we are predestinated after we're saved. I read to you last week, or week before, about Romans chapter 8. We're predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. That happens when the seed starts heading where it's going. You get the seed in here, it heads where it's supposed to. But not only is it headed for holiness, it's headed to heaven.
Right.
See, when you get this seed in there, now you're headed to a different destination at the end of your life. I cannot change where I come from.
Right.
But God can change my eternal destination by this one seed.
Amen.
I've looked back over my life, and I must tell you, with my shame, I could have got saved probably at 7 years old. We had a preacher preach. He went something and got up there and made excuses for the Bible. He preached the Bible.
Amen.
He moved off. We got another preacher in. He preached. He'd make you peel the skin off that them pews trying to hold on not to slide off into hell. And then after that, it kind of went downhill. They said, we got to have somebody drawing a crowd. And then the crowd kept getting smaller. What happened? We quit believing this is the seed. I got out of church, thought I had it made. I thought when I turned 14, I'm out, I'm free, I can do what I want to. I wasn't counting on that seed going with me. And the craziest thing happened. 10 years later, I got saved. Why? I may have gave up on God, but honey, he never gave up on me. He chased me to where he wanted to find me at, engineered the circumstances to get me sober, and there I was, faced off with a decision of either going to heaven or going to hell. I had this in here working. I didn't even know it. It was headed to heaven whether I was going or not. Thank God April 7, 1994, I got in on it. And now you know what? Me and that seed's headed to heaven. It wasn't nothing because of what I done. It's because of what he done and what the seed done. See, when people come up with all these super-duper, talk them into it, trick them to get saved things, I don't buy it. You'll be as lost as you started, but just more religious. But if the seed doesn't work and it's been watered and God gives that increase, now you're headed to heaven with that seed because that seed's headed to heaven. Let me ask you, are you headed to heaven tonight? Very important question to answer, because if you're not, listen, you can't go without the seed. You say, I got me some baptizing a while, but I don't care if you've been baptized 15 times, you don't get baptized to go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. I had a man tell me, well, you can't show me not one person in the New Testament was baptized that wasn't baptized and went to heaven. How about I give you two? And one of them's free, the dude on the cross.
That's right.
Jesus didn't say, if thou shalt be baptized, thou shalt be with me in paradise this day. He said this, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Ain't that something? And then you got these knuckleheads like Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer. I want to buy the gift of the Holy Ghost. Sorry, not for sale. And that ain't something you get embroidered on the back of a coat either. Them people all sell out. This one didn't. Philip said, I don't know about that. And Peter said, thy money perish with thee. Listen, these people that come up with all these so-called plans of salvation don't involve that seed, don't involve that son. They're not going to heaven. They're not going by the way of the cross. They're a thief and a robber, and they're going some other way. So what does the man do when he gets saved? He joins the local church and gets baptized. So why would he do that? Because that's what Jesus did. He got baptized as an example for you. And then if that ain't good enough, he did say, go you therefore in all nations and do two things with them. Baptize them and teach them. You know what we need? Both things. And then we move on down the road a little piece and we find out something else. You got to preach the gospel to them, teach them, baptize them. You got to do all that. But if you get saved and you don't make the other two, you'll be okay. God will take care of you. But watch this. Are you headed to heaven? Are you headed to heaven? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you.